My safe word is Quetzal. Let's go. Quote unquote, the circus.
Get that fucking money, honey!
As the kids say, cringy.
Because we're shitty kids and we don't care.
God, I'm sad.
Someone should do a gala skate to the Skype theme song because it slaps.
Cutting all of this because it's embarrassing.
Welcome to the Iced Tea Podcast, the podcast where we spill the tea about figure skating. My name is Megan.
I'm Neda. Happy Valentine's Day. Hi.
Happy Valentine's. Who's your dream skater Valentine?
Wow, there's so many of them. I'm gonna go ahead and say Javi, just because he's at the top of my notes, and I feel like we would have fun. We can have, like, Mediterranean food and go skating. What about you?
Well, just from Euros, I'm gonna say Mick Brazina, but only if he wasn't married.
That's fair.
I'm not trying to, like, wreck a home on Valentine's.
What would you do on your dream date with Mick Brazina?
So, I don't know. I don't like dates. I just, like, want to...
You want to go to the Plus 500 warehouse?
Wait, that's actually such a good idea. Yeah, I think that we would, we would do a photo shoot, and I would model vests for him, and that would be the dream date.
Beautiful. That's so inspired.
So today we're talking about the free skate from the European Championships 2019. It's our part two of our Euros coverage.
All right. Do we want to start with some women?
Yeah, let's start with some women.
So things that we do want to address is we are doing the top six after the free as our order here.
So we should start with Alexia.
Miss Alexia Paganini, she is representing Switzerland. She is 17 years old, and she is number six in the free skate.
She is. So she skates to La La Land, which has somehow very quickly become a fucking war horse.
I mean, I'm not sure if it's the worst war horse, but it's like one of my personal least favorites. But she looks beautiful.
She does. This blue dress is everything. Well, like,
so gorgeous. Like, if you want to do La La Land, like, this is the color of the poster.
I haven't seen this movie, so I was going to ask if Emma Stone wears a dress like this in the movie.
No, she wears, like, a yellow dress, but this is, like, the poster is, like, her in the yellow dress, and then the sky behind her is this beautiful, like, early nighttime, we've just watched the sunset, kind of blue, and that's what Alexia is giving me, and I love that. Also, I will say, this is not the worst La La Land cut. It's actually pretty fun.
Yeah, because it has minimal singing. It's just, like, humming.
Also, it starts backwards. It goes... basically from the finale all the way into the opening song, which is a choice, but she makes it work.
Yeah, I'm not mad at it, because something that I noticed a lot rewatching these is people tend to do the best when their music medleys get higher energy as they go, because it kind of keeps them from pooping out too soon. Yeah. So I'm not mad at that, because this, like, progression of the songs does end on a higher energy note, which is good.
Yeah, definitely. Also, the choreo, which is by Nikolai Morozov, it's very, very sweet.
You may know Nikolai Morozov as the choreographer of Miente by Jami.
Which is, he's killing it. This is very sweet. It's honestly the best you could probably ask from doing this score.
Yeah, and I think she's the right person to do it, to be honest, because she's very charismatic, and there's something very classic about her, so I feel like that sort of classic Hollywood vibe goes well with her, and like, her step sequence is just so fun toward the end. She has that sort of, like, ingenue showgirl, I just stepped off the bus and I'm ready to take the world by storm. Like, that's very much her vibe on ice, so I thought it was a good, like, character for her to play.
Agreed, yeah. If anyone has to do it, it might as well be her.
Yeah, I'm, like, happy that she's kind of doing pretty consistently well this season.
Yeah. All right. Coming up next, we have Miss Laureen Lecavalier from France. She is 22 years old, and I always have questions about her programs.
Yeah, this is fine. This is what I wrote. This is fine.
Yeah, my note says, I am so neutral in all of this.
Yeah, like, I was trying to think of things to say, and I truly don't know why. Every time she's on ice, I'm just like, this is what I think is hard about it.
Yeah, go for it.
I think that it's really difficult to do, like, capital S sex on ice and not come off awkward. Ice skating can certainly be sexy. Like, that's, like, the not the thesis of this podcast, but it's a thesis of this podcast. But I think that the sexiness has to be a byproduct of like commitment to a specific character or genre. It can't just be like the one thing. You can't go out there and be like, I'm going to be sexy. You have to do something else and then the sexiness will just happen.
Yeah.
And her whole thing is like, the theme of this program is sex. It's just sex and that's it. And it's a little awkward for me.
Yeah, it's not my favorite. Other notes I have on this is that her double accent was questionable, question mark. Also, this tempo of this piece of music stops being exciting very, very quickly.
There's a way
to do, you know, like, sultry or whatever you want to be doing, and that's not it for me.
Actually, I was thinking about Lisa, or however you say it, Tuk Tamishava, and how she does sexy on ice really well, and I think it's because she keeps it interesting, like her
and like dynamic.
Yes, because her free skate is a mashup of like three different songs, and each one it changes before we can get sick of each song. It's like keeps us on our toes, and I was thinking that for Laureen, I was like, this one song is in and of itself not interesting enough to be just one song. Like, mash it up with other similar songs. It's agreed. Not like there aren't a million other, like, sultry, bluesy songs out there.
Yeah, agreed. I do want to point out that Laureen's coach is a fashion icon.
You know what? I looked it up. That's not her coach. That's Brian Joubert.
Is it?
Yeah, it is. He's not her coach or her choreographer.
Yeah, like, why is he even there? Is it just because he's French?
Yeah, like, I literally think he's just there to be...
He's just there being French.
They were just
being French. I did not recognize him. I'm gonna go on record. Did not recognize him. I was busy looking at the jacket.
Maybe he could be, like, a mentor of, like, oh, I'm French, you're French.
Yeah, that sounds great.
Du français, du es français.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for tuning in for Megan's Brian Joubert impression. And I'm Joubert.
Oh, well, we'll get to Les Mis on Ice in a minute. Don't worry.
Oh, my God. Yeah, but first, we got to talk about the comeback queen of my life, Yaroslava Konstantinova. So here's the deal. We know she did not do well in her short program, and she killed her free. She just came back so aggressively. She skates to Anna Karenina.
I love a Russian girl doing Anna Karenina.
Also, this is one of my favorite looks this season. She has this, like, faux necklace neckline. Like, the neckline of her dress is stoned with pearls. She always has her hair in those elaborate updos that I've talked about already. She nails her triple lutz, triple toe, and then she's just off.
That's exactly what I said. It's like, the second she got it, you could see it in her eyes. Like, she was like, oh, this is on. We're doing this today. Yeah.
And then she just flies through it. It's like high-class drama. The only thing I wanted to point out is that I wish she would hold her spread ego and her Inna Bauer longer, because we know I enjoy those elements, and I feel like she has those gorgeous lines, and I just, especially when it's like high Russian drama, I just want more of it.
Yeah, I think that the thing that works for me about this piece, like this piece of music and this program, is that it's such like a magical, sort of surreal, waltzy quality the whole time. And she keeps it so light and dancey, and it's never like heavy or bogged down. Like, it really feels like when you're watching ballroom dancers who are waltzing and it just looks like they're kind of floating. Like, that's how I feel when watching her. And I think she told the story really well. Her face was very emotional.
And I'm so like proud and impressed with her that she pulled that off, because we know she's a good skater. But like we said last time, the fact that she's at Euros to begin with was kind of a surprise. And she kind of proved that she deserved to be there with this free skate. All right. Speaking of Les Mis on Ice.
Vivica Lindfors.
She is way too young for this. There's other songs from Les Mis, and she looks, you know, she looks like she could be the traditional what you imagine as cassette. Mm-hmm. She could do anything else. But no, she does. At the end of the day, cutting into I Dreamed a Dream with like tiny, tiny, tiny bits of other stuff thrown in there.
I agree that she's too young. And it's not necessarily even like an age thing. It's like you can tell that she hasn't like experienced enough sorrow in her life to really capture I Dreamed a Dream.
She has not had to give her child to random innkeepers, sell her teeth, sell her hair, and pursue sex work in Paris in the 1700s. Yeah.
This also, for me, is a weird costume for Les Mis because it's red. And at first I was like, oh, is she like the red flag? She's the flag. But then she doesn't do any of the like French Revolution-y songs. Also, it's like, I think it's a little tasteless to do Les Mis in like a really opulent, bedazzled dress because, I mean, this whole musical is about like rebelling against the rich. If we're going to eat the rich, like don't dress like the rich, but whatever.
Also, I think this is the Susan Boyle version.
I know, I wrote that too. I was like, is this Susan Boyle? Here's why that's bad. The Susan Boyle version, the orchestrations of that version are very emotionally manipulative because they kind of swell and build in such a way that is really not telling the narrative of the song so much as telling us the narrative of Susan Boyle. And so it becomes like this triumphant song, and it's that version doesn't even really capture the emotion of the song. And so like Vivica was kind of set up to fail.
If she wants to do a Les Mis cut, like have her do like In My Life.
No, okay, my thing with Les Mis is I also am a huge Les Mis fan, and I think it's not that we need to retire Les Mis, it's that we need to make people listen to the whole thing and realize that it's not just I Dreamed a Dream.
I will say I wrote down yay spins because her spins are so centered. I was impressed with the quality of her spins.
That's the kind of shit you get GOE points for. And she was so happy after.
I love seeing people leave the ice looking happy with themselves.
Agree.
And I have some bad news, and that's that the next thing we have to talk about is a Carmen in a red and black costume.
Yeah, there was a lot of Carmen that we're going to talk about today. This is the first of many Carmens. It's a coat of many Carmens, and it's a red and black coat. I'm going to go ahead and just say the spirit of Carmen was not in Minsk, Belarus that particular weekend. It was like...
This was a bigger tragedy than the plot of Carmen.
Ooh, that's a hot take.
I stand by it.
I think you should. I like that Alina Zagitova comes out like a goddamn... Yeah, she comes out like she's about to like knock out like Evander Holyfield every single time. She's like punching her legs and like... Ugh! Yeah, she's very like tiny and like pretty and petite, and she just comes out like she's ready to just punch a man in the face, which I find charming.
I hope she does, and I want to be there to witness that.
You know what? She's not going to punch a man in the face. She's going to punch a chandelier.
I love what this dress could be. I wrote down, imagine this in all black, because it's stunning. There's like lace and all of those fun things, but the thing is, I'm not even going to repeat myself. I'm just over this color scheme. Yeah, but she falls on her triple Lutz, and I think that gets to her.
Oh my god, the Spanish commentator ladies gasped.
She fell on her first triple Lutz, and I don't think anyone expected that because she's usually, like, pretty consistent.
She just kind of fell apart, like she singled her loop, and then after that it was just worse and worse. The Spanish commentator ladies were like, madre mía, pobre Zagitova. I think this is an example of a cut of music that's not doing the skater any favors because the last chunk of this medley is...
That is the Toreador song. It has like a whole name that's like... It's something about toasting and feast, yeah, but it is known as the Toreador song.
Yes. So that song is the one she kind of ends with, and I think that while it is an extremely dramatic moment, musically, it's a little bit too, like, slow to really have the kind of gravitas that you want to end with.
Yeah, also, it doesn't fit, like, the narrative, if there is a narrative to this piece, and, like, her is this, like, 16-year-old, adorable, tiny, pretty woman, and not to gender Carmen, but this song is about, like, bloodshed and fighting and, like, toasting to, like, going out and dying, and she doesn't give me any of this. She gives me, like, beautiful, you know, dancey woman who's spinning. I honestly believe that people skate to Carmen because it's, like, a rite of passage, and none of them actually know what Carmen's about.
Like, if she would bring that energy that she brings when she skates out on the ice and she's, like, punching her own legs into that
tournament. Oh, I can totally see that, yeah.
She could do that, but it's, like, the choreography isn't there for her to support that. But I think she could do that, and I wish she would.
And Terry herself choreographed this. Of course. And I feel like that tells you everything you need to know about this piece.
Terry was so pissed that she, like, fucking slammed that little mouse tissue case into that like shitty guy who follows her around. But you know what though, Alina seemed pretty happy because the crowd was so into her, and I was like, good. I'm glad they were able to like cheer her up a little bit.
I really like when the crowd is on the side of the skater. Like even when it's not the best skate of someone's career, I do enjoy a crowd. It's like very there with them and like cheering them on.
Yeah, skating fans are great. Speaking of the crowd loving a skater, let's talk about Sofia Samadorova,
who skates what is probably one of my favorite programs this season. For those of you who have not seen this and are somehow listening to this, which is my mom, she skates to selections from the movie Burlesque, and she's wearing this like lilac, opulent, stoned, shiny dress. This is what I would have skated to if I were 16 and very good at skating, because that movie came out when I was 16, and we were, in fact, so obsessed with it that my friends and I hosted a burlesque party, which was an excuse for a bunch of people to wear, like, corsets and high heels in my friend's living room, and we made the boys wear eyeliner. It was great.
I feel like we had a very similar high school experience.
Did you do, like, Rocky Horror or something?
I'm not that old. No, we did though.
People do Rocky Horror to this day.
That's true. No, I was talking more about the making the boys wear makeup and dresses.
Which was a grim foreshadowing for the rest of my life.
Yep.
Sofia Samadorova, she comes into this with so much energy. And it's just great. She does all of her jumps with her little arms up, which is adorable. And also, she's one of those people who, going back to our conversation with Laureen about doing a sexy program, she's very good at doing the thing where it's, like, sexy and fun, but it's not, like, sexualized.
Yeah, she definitely gets the tone of this. I think that it's very, it's, like, fun, but she also understands that it's kind of dumb and tongue-in-cheek. And I think that that's a really, like, I'm really impressed that she's so young and she gets that, because that's kind of a nuanced thing, and she's just like a natural performer.
Yeah, the thing is, I very much believe that the movie Burlesque itself is very much about that. Especially, she does Show Me How We Burlesque, which is very much diegetic, and they perform it at the end of the movie. And it's very much about, here's how we do things around here, which I think is fun. And she's showing off, she is showing us how she burlesques. Also, the transition gets me going every single time.
Oh, it's the camera shutter. Is it's very like sandal.
And she does like her little hands as if she's posing. Oh, it's so fun.
Yeah, we need more Cher on ice, just in general.
And she nails all of her jumps.
And that part where it's like, okay, girls, let's show them how it's done. And I'm like, that's literally what she's doing. Again, you can't. It's something that for her to be so young and to have such a sense of that is really a testament to how much of a natural, like, show woman she is.
Yeah, and she, I'm so excited that we get to see like so much more of her, because she's so young and she gets it already, which is awesome. I did want to point out, she has at this point won Euros. She is a reigning champion. Okay, she finishes this program with the most iconic ending.
Yes.
Of the season.
Finger guns.
And I remember seeing this the very first time we saw her skate this program during the Grand Prix series in, like, October, and I was scandalized. I was like, what is this woman doing? And now it's, like, won me over so much that I wait for it. Anytime I watch her skate this, I'm like, oh my god, here it comes! And she's doing the finger guns! Gets me so excited.
I will say I was always on Team Finger Guns. I think that finger guns on ice are always good and appropriate.
We're going to tweet this because I need people to remember and see the full gif of this. She goes from finger guns into like beaming at the crowd because they're all like cheering for her and it's her season's best and they know she did well. And then she just breaks down and starts sobbing. Oh, yeah. It's so funny. She has this full journey within like 10 seconds. Deeply relatable. And we're so proud of her. She wins, which I did not expect. All right, well, that covers the ladies' top six, right?
Yeah, and, like, controversially, I didn't really have anybody else that I really was, like, burning to talk about, but if you did, I'm down.
No, I don't have anything else.
Cool. All right, shall we talk about men's?
I'm not going to say it's more exciting than the ladies, but there was some movement. Number six in the boys' free skate is Daniel Grasso from Italy, who is 16 and the current reigning national champion of Italy. He is also someone we did not get to really cover last time because our audio was fucked up. Apparently, he's cursed because our audio started getting fucked up when I started talking about him again.
Maybe Satan doesn't like Daniel Grassel because
Well,
he's like,
Satan is wrong.
Satan is wrong to dislike Daniel because he's darling.
I love
He,
him.
I know, I love him too. He kind of looks like a Renaissance angel. So maybe that's like,
That is
maybe
so
he's.
correct. He looks so wholesome. He does skate in a red and black costume, but I'm weirdly okay with this
Because
one,
it's a red and black Philip Glass.
which is a very solid choice.
It's true. I am Philip Glass's number one stan, and I have been since my music theory major days in college. I think that this kid might need more variety in his programs because his short is also contemporary classical music kind of thing. But this Philip Glass number really, really does it for me because the choreography is very bold and it's very like an homage to like Lucinda Child's choreography for Einstein on the Beach. Like it was so perfect for the music. I died.
Yeah, it's Benoit again, so it's beautiful. He had two quads planned for this program. The quad lutz did not happen, but he does land his quad loop. It's not perfect, but he lands it. And yeah, he does really, really
And
well.
then the triple axel was good too.
And then the triple axel was just clean and beautiful, which is always impressive. I really like how angular a lot of this is, which, all credit to my husband. Yeah,
Benoit.
it's like angular and weird, and I like that. There's also like a little head moment in his step sequence, which is fun. Yeah, his spread eagle is dramatic, which is the way I like my spread eagles.
Same. It's huge and dramatic.
And it's really a joy to watch him skate. I can definitely see how and why he is national champion right now. And, he made it so far in Euros because he's really, really good. And similarly to like Sophia, he is very young and I'm super excited we get to see like hopefully a lot more of him.
Yeah, I could tell he really understands the music and is really comfortable being dramatic, which is cool because a lot of times the younger skaters have to learn that. I just can't get over how well this choreography and then also his performance of the choreography meshes with like the moment
Yeah.
of Philip Glass and like where he fits into art history and dance history and music history. Like I think it was all just very smart and
It's
cohesive
very,
and
very
yeah.
smart. Yeah. It's a well-researched, well, like it's a piece that justifies itself. It's not just like, oh, there's a boy and there's Philip Glass. It's like, oh, here's why we're doing this.
Yeah, you can tell he did his homework.
I love people who do their homework. I'm also a Virgo. We got to talk about something really hard next.
I know.
It's hard for several reasons. It's Megan's actual legal son, Mikhail Kuleta from Russia,
My boy.
who we love deeply. However, first of all, he does skate a red and black Carmen, which is okay. He also has a really, really hard time with
Yeah, this is a. I did not take him shopping on this particular day.
it. And the thing is, you got to remember going into this, he is first. He won the short. He's looking good.
He's never done this program like clean,
Clean.
right?
Yeah.
Even
No.
at nationals, that's why he
No.
lost.
Took off tune.
Yeah.
Yeah. I do like his Mandarin collar. I do appreciate a nice detail on this otherwise not my favorite costume. I wonder if he like psyched himself out after his quad sal because it did not go well. But then he lands his quad toe, which is fine, and he commits to his choreo, and you can
He
tell
does.
he doesn't like give up. He very much fights through this, but he falls in a triple loop, and
He hurts himself.
it looks bad. He like twists his hand or his wrist. I think at the time we weren't even sure what, but he twists like something in his hand, and you can like literally physically see him shake it off, and then he like keeps kind of like directing his attention towards that.
I know he like cradles his wrist. Oh, it's so
Yeah.
sad.
You can tell that he was really, really in pain, like at that moment, but he pushes through it and he gets to the end. The Spanish commentators have another Madre Mia moment.
It
He
was
does
another
persevere.
tragic Carmen, another
Yeah,
tragic
it's
Carmen.
It was a hard event for Carmen's overall. So he falls from, you know, his first in the shorts to healthy fifth for the overall event.
The slow skate to the
Yeah.
kiss and cry was slow and dramatic and pained. But you know
Yeah.
what? He's okay.
He Instagrammed about it in three languages, which I do appreciate. He said something like, "Thank you for everyone who worried about me. Don't worry, I'll live," with like a winky face,
I
which
know he's
lets me know
sarcastic. I love it.
it
He gets
lets
that
me know
from
that
me.
he's deeply self-aware, and I do appreciate that. I'm also glad he's okay because it looked scary for a second, so I was concerned, but he is okay, and we're proud of him.
And he gets to go to Worlds, and
Yeah, I'm so
maybe
excited.
Worlds is where he finally skates his clean Carmen.
Can you fucking imagine if we get a clean Carmen? It's Worlds. I would be so happy.
I was also, listen, I would never root for anyone to fail, but I was okay with this because everybody else's failure is just leaving doors open for Javi.
Yeah, I don't even think Javi needed this, but it definitely, watching this for the first time, it definitely calmed me down a little bit.
Yeah, Javi didn't need it, but we needed it for our
I
mental
needed
health.
it. Yeah, I needed it. I also needed to see my French husband, Kevin Amaz, do a fucking 2019 Warhorse.
Yeah, somehow in this shirt, it's up there with like Wood Kid, To Build
To
a
Build a
Home,
Home.
La La Land, of like, we got a whole new stable of war horses this year.
Yeah, stable of warhorses. It's full, like, peak of West End puppetry warhorse fantasies. Having said that, this is the shirt you wear when you're doing in this shirt.
It is. I wrote in this shirt, because
Yeah.
this shirt looks like it's seen some things. And I would also like to say shout out to my friend Mike, because we were watching it together, and he said that he liked this shirt because it reminded him of like this kind of scarves that French people wear, but as a shirt. So
Oh my
he said it
God.
felt very French.
He's not wrong. Also, it's a sensible, fun shirt. And
It's a
he.
sensible chest hair peekaboo.
Yeah, it's a chest hair peekaboo. I appreciate that he doesn't shave because most skaters do. He doesn't care
Be
because he's
hairy, you
edgy.
know? Be
Yeah,
you.
I'm not mad at that. Also, it is like contemporary, like indie, whatever. But in contrast to his short, which we know I love, this is like very lyrical for him. I like that he's found versatility within like the genre that he's clearly comfortable with. That like really works for him. He falls on his quad toe, and I just wrote down, "Ouch."
Sidebar, the Irrepressibles sound like they could be related to Wood Kid.
They're like cousins.
Their last name is in fact Wood Kid.
Irrepressible Wood Kid. Okay, what else do I have to say about this? He really gets into like the story and like the mood that he's like trying to communicate. He's so expressive. Also, he has like a really good hydro blade in there, which always gets me going.
Because I was like, what I needed. I wrote, what was that move? It was like an Ina Bauer, a cantilever, and a knee slide had a sexy baby.
It's a hydro blade.
But
I
it's a
yeah.
weird one. It's like a back one. It's like a
Yeah.
butt hydro blade. A
I
hydro butt.
prefer a hydro butt. Yeah, I think it's like a variation of a hydro blade. He also has a very nice Ina Bauer. It's subtle, but his lines are beautiful.
And then it goes into a triple axel, and it's
Yeah.
like, I just always love that.
I love like a spread eagle or a Nina into a triple axel. It's
Me
always
fucking too.
dramatic, and it shows off a range of skill, and I love that. And he did very, very well, which is so exciting because I think he's like we said last time, he is this surprising new addition to the people I keep my eye on. And this was a very solid claim as to why we should be watching him.
Oh, and he has that moment where he does that dramatic run with like the dramatic
Oh,
face. I love that.
yes.
Maybe this is a French thing because he, like my Berenice, also has that feel of like contemporary dance that just happens to be on ice.
Yeah, I agree with that. This is both of his programs are very like very dancey, and like I said with my last time, it's something that I would watch off ice as well, even though I would very much miss, you know, the hydro butt.
Hydro.
That's the official term now. We're adding that to the ICU guidelines. It's a
It's
hydro
true.
butt.
It's a required element.
Everyone has to hydro butt. All right, another surprise. And everyone including himself, was surprised is our bronze medalist, Mr. Matteo Rizzo from Italy. I always say Italia. I don't know why. He's from Italy. He is 20 years old, and he is the silver champion of Italy for this year because he lost to Daniel. But he comes back for Euros, and he skates so well that it lands him on the podium. Here's the thing, though. He has a new free program.
He does. And if you remember from last week, he wasn't even in the top six. Like, we included him in our commentary because we knew, being in the future, that it would be, a smart thing to do. But yeah, his new program is to Queen, which is very fun. And it's like kind of timely because they just had that movie, Bohemian Rhapsody. So Matteo has this costume that's like a black and white shirt with arrows on it. And it's like very Tron, which of course I love.
Yeah, it's very like futuristic. I like that it's arrows because I want to know what they're pointing at. Plot twist, here's Matteo Rizzo with this brand new free skate, and it's a medley, and it's so fun
because it's the medley that you do. Like, if you're doing a Queen medley, you have to start with Bohemian Rhapsody, because obviously, and then you go into a deep cut, which he does Love of My Life, and then he ends with Don't Stop Me Now, which is so fun and high energy. Like, that's the way to end a free skate, with that high energy. And actually, also, the first, like, movement or whatever of Bohemian Rhapsody is such a smart way to start, because the first chunk of your free skate is often where you put all of your hard jumps, and so you're not, like, performing as much, and so it helps to have a chunk of music,
like, slower.
Yeah, something slower, but something that's also dramatic and enough that we're into it and we don't need a ton of choreography to get us into that music, because we already know it.
Yeah, he has everyone on board. It's like, okay, here's the thing. I try not to make this about technicality very, very hard, but I wrote down half of his jumps with, like, yes, and all right, and this is beautiful in my notes, just because his quad toe, first of all, he has that, it's awesome. He has this triple axel double toe combo, which he just flies through, and then he has a triple lutz triple toe. The mixes, it just flows, like you said, it flows the right way. It has this beautiful lyrical moment, and then when it goes into Don't Stop Me Now,
oh yeah,
it's just joyful.
You can't he's watch having that step such sequence a good without time. Smiling.
Yeah, he's having a ball, and so are we. It's just great. It's infectious.
I was smiling so wide the whole time.
I know. You know, he's a superstar, racing through the sky, etc. Like, all that.
And I love
it's
that.
So timely, and it's so great, and it just works out so well for him. It's like Kevin, it's one of those programs where I just want to watch it the second I start talking about it, just because it's so great. And it was, honestly, it's a risky choice to change your free skate or, like, any one of your programs halfway through the season. And he took that risk, and it's really, really paying off for him, which is awesome.
Mamma mia, it was the season's best.
Yeah, he deserved that so much. Okay.
Alexander Samarin.
His name is Alexander Samarin. I'm trying not to be harsh on this. This costume looks like he's doing the Nutcracker, but he's not.
No, it's not. It's a very this jacket is too narrow in the shoulders for him. Like many, you know, like many male figure skaters, he's kind of slim and petite. And I don't know. He could have used some shoulder pads or some nice, like.
Yeah. Greatest Showman is up there with the programs that I feel like we could retire.
I don't really want to hear Greatest Showman unless it's the Panic at the Disco version. I don't know if I ever want to hear anyone skate to the weird sound of Hugh Jackman singing.
I have a soft spot for this, for like the aesthetic that's, you know, comes with a vintage circus. You know, I like that. It's what Panic at the Disco was doing pastiche of like 10 years ago.
I just remember when Johnny Weir said that he has never seen a worse matchup of performer to piece of music in his life. And I was like, yes.
Once again, I agree with Johnny. Here's the thing. I think I talked about this last time as well. Samarin, he comes off with this very anxious energy, which I can relate to and I understand, but he looks on edge, no pun intended, a lot of the time. And I'm not sure how this works. I do think it kind of fits the first part of this, the from now on part, because that's like angsty and we're upset about things. But I don't think he can sustain all of this energy, which is very much coming from like this place of stress, through to the greatest show part of this.
I don't believe that Alexander Samarin is a ringleader at this circus. Like, I would believe that he's like a milquetoast person that came to see the circus and is like, wow.
No, he's like the nice boy who like feeds the horses or something.
He is. He's like the stable boy. And I actually thought that too. I was like, I would rather see him skate this in like, so yeah, like a stable boy costume or
Like a
like
circus
one of.
worker,
Yes,
doing
exactly.
like full like water for
I was
elephants.
just going to say that.
Speaking of good movies about a Victorian circus, that's one of them.
Yeah,
It's a good aesthetic. I'm a recovering like Panic at the Disco emo kid. This is the aesthetic.
I don't think that he is though. I
No,
don't think
he's not.
he's too young for that, right? Or no, how old is he?
He is 20. Also, I think similarly to his short program, which is Dave Not Dave, I think he's a little bit too like clean cut for this. Okay, so this was choreographed by Vitaly Butykov, The Greatest Show. The title song of The Greatest Showman has those fun dynamic shifts where it's like full ensemble, and then what's his name just whispering, and it's like it is fun, like it's objectively fun music, and he doesn't really utilize this in the choreo. Like there's jumps in the quiet parts, and there's so many things you could be doing with this like shift between like loud ensemble and then like a soloist who's being like sultry and dangerous, and he doesn't really use that like dark sultry element of it.
Yeah, I think again, it's like he wasn't really playing to the crowd enough, and that's literally a ringleader's one job.
Yeah.
So it just in that respect was, as Johnny said, like a poor fit.
Like you nailed it. When he goes into The Greatest Show, it starts with, "Ladies and gentlemen, this is the moment you've waited for."
And
And
he's
I'm
like,
like,
is it? I would rather have seen Kevin or even Mateo do this.
Kevin would be so fun. Would
Or
this be
Dennis. Dennis Vasilia.
Danny Vasilius, can we get him on the phone and like make that happen? He
Oh
would
my
be
God.
so fun. Also, like he would be nice in Zac Efron's part as well. Okay, so for my next trick, I'm gonna recast Greatest Showman with figure skaters.
Absolutely.
It would actually be Stefan as Barnum.
Oh, that is the fucking tea. And then he and Dennis can do that duet that they do
Yeah.
together.
Where Barnum gets Zac Efron's character to be on board and invest in the circus.
Can we like write to Art on Ice and suggest that the two of them do that?
Yeah, we can. Also, like the Art on Ice theme this season is like theme punk something or other, which I feel like lands itself to this.
Oh, it does.
Okay, so back to Samarin. Do we have anything else we want to say about him?
What I said, which I think sums it up for me, is that I don't know if this is the greatest show, but it is a show.
A show. It's like it's not Barnum's Circus, but it is definitely the circus I cried at when I was 3 years old, and I left, and I haven't been to a circus since.
Okay, so now, ladies and gents, the actual moment that you've actually been waiting for.
It's my fictional Valentine. It's my dream Valentine. It's Javier Fernandez's very last competitive skate ever.
Vamos.
Vamos, Javi. Do yourself the favor of watching this with the Spanish commentary.
Oh my God.
It is a theatrical experience. Okay, so here's what we're dealing with. We're dealing with a man who has a point to prove, and he has nothing left to lose at this point. He will be done one way or the other in 4 minutes. So he skates out looking like an actual prince in this beautiful blouse.
Again, no adornments, no sparkles. It's like he's
No.
bringing all of the royalty just with himself
Yeah,
and his beautiful eyes.
He skates to Man of La Mancha.
It murders me emotionally. Oh my God.
Yeah, it's okay. So here's the thing: he gets negative GOE on his quattro triple toe. At which point, the first time I'm watching this, I'm stressed out
Oh yeah.
because we never know how much the ISU will decide to fuck him over. And also, at that point, we're just like automatically mad at like any negative anything. But then he triumphantly and beautifully nails the fucking quetzal.
Oh
It
my God.
is undeniable.
Plus
His
three GOE.
it's so triumphant because it is the exact same thing that put him in this position to begin with.
And it felt like the judges being like, all right, we
Judges are
can
like, okay, we see,
proceed.
and this one time our eyes are actually working. We agree. Yeah. And then he has that beautiful triumphant triple axel double toe. And then it goes, beautiful and lyrical. The tone shift kills me.
It does that, like, fucking that Ina Bauer. It's like,
That hour less, like, I'm not even exaggerating. It's like 12 rotations of the entire fucking rink. He's just
yeah, and that's
Ida
not exaggerating. It's
Bauering.
just
I'm not exaggerating. He's just Ida Bauering.
into
It's
the
so
sunset.
into the sunset. I'm gonna go ahead and say that his Ida Bauer is more beautiful than Yuzuru's,
I think
which
so too, actually. I really do.
I'm sure some people would be offended by that,
Fine.
but
Opinions are meant to be disagreed with, but
yeah.
I
But you
agree
know
with your
what?
opinion on
I'm
that.
gonna go ahead and say that Yuzuru probably agrees with me, so it is what it is.
Like, ending this with the impossible dream was like, I couldn't have asked.
No. And he's spinning as the words going to reach the unreachable star.
And it's like the second, it's like the lyrics are like, and the world will be better for this. And I'm like, it fucking will. The world will be better for this because Javi went out and chased his dream. And you know what I wrote in my notes? I wrote this in honor of you, Netta. I wrote, I'm crying. I'm gonna just go full Alyssa Liu right now and just be like, ah.
Sobbing, I'm tearing up just thinking about it. He's spinning and spinning and spinning, and then it's over. And there's a moment, the crowd is going off, and he just exhales.
Oh.
And there's this moment of like complete stillness. And it fucking breaks my heart, but it's also so beautiful. And you know that he knows that he skated the best he could have given the circumstance.
Oh, yeah. And the Spanish announcers are just crying and they just keep going, this is so emotional.
It's great.
That hug with Brian Orser and Brian's face when he got his scores and he won. It was so
Yeah,
cute.
it's just so great to see him like happy and proud of his skaters.
It's like, I don't know what to say. Like, he's like such a beautiful skater, and we're not even saying anything because it's like, what do you say?
I will say that as of right now, he has seven consecutive European Championship titles. And the hottest take is that we're gonna probably have to wait another decade to see anyone attempt to repeat this.
Yeah, that's true. And like, who could even, is there anyone who could just
You
come
know,
in and.
we don't even know. It could be someone who's like 13 and learning quads right now.
What
I
if
don't
it's
even
Daniel
know.
Grass?
What if Daniel Grasso? What if Daniel Grasso like glows the fuck up? What if it's someone we don't even know exists? Like, this is so exciting.
What if it's someone who hasn't been born yet? No, that doesn't make sense.
Yeah, I mean, it could be. Maybe that record doesn't get broken for a very long time.
Maybe it never gets broken again.
Maybe they cancel figure skating before anyone can break that.
Maybe the world explodes and we all die.
If the world ends while Javi is still holding this record, I would be okay with that.
Knock on wood, though, because I'm terrified of nuclear war.
Yeah, maybe it's something else. Maybe it's something quieter.
Yeah, it could be aliens.
Yeah, it could be like nice aliens. Maybe the aliens join figure skating and then they're doing like alien stuff. Would that be even like legal?
Bold of you to assume they haven't already.
You want to out someone as an alien right now?
I think that it is one possible explanation for Yuzuru Hanyu.
You know, that's a very fair point. And still, aliens could not design someone with a better Ina Bauer than Javier Fernandez. Why would aliens try to hide an alien figure skater?
I always assume aliens on Earth don't want to be outed.
Okay.
If they're bothering to hide themselves,
Are they like immigrating to
crash landing, experiment, scoping it out for colonization. I don't know. I don't know. Let's talk about some other boys. I always want to talk about Mick Brazina, my Valentine. It's not like there's like a ton to say. I just like this program.
During Euros, he kind of found this program, even though it was technically obviously not the best by a long shot that he skated. I feel like he found the energy for this, which crossed over from his usual like dad rock fantasy into what we like to call like earnest sexy rock.
Yes, I agree with that. He found it.
I feel like if he can keep the actual vibe of this and just nail it technically, it would be what this program wants to be and has been wanting to be this entire season.
Definitely agree.
But I feel like he's one of those skaters who, like, he knows what went wrong and
Absolutely.
he's very much equipped to, like, fix that for next time.
I would love to see him do well at Worlds.
Yeah, agreed. Speaking of beautiful men, that is Vasilios, who we already mentioned. I want to talk about him just because I love him.
I know he's out there doing like Latvian and Japanese Mortal Kombat.
Yeah, that's very much the aesthetic. Started out hating this entire costume, but I've recently realized it's just the top that's bad.
Yeah,
The
the
bottom
bottoms are great.
is just a top that's budget Latvian folk dancer. I'm gonna save talking more about Dennis too when we get to the gala though, because that's when
Yeah,
it gets
he
fun.
Dennis skates to The Last Samurai, which isn't that movie about the white guy who's a samurai?
Yeah, it's The Last Samurai.
He's appropriating someone else appropriating.
I'm not even sure if he is aware of that.
No, I don't think so either. I think that he is really the emotion is there, but the skating is how you say not great.
Not great.
And speaking of not great, I think the other guy we wanted to talk about was Maxime.
Yeah, Maxim Kovtun, who is the current reigning Russian champion, but things don't go well for him.
I have a theory that Carmen, the real Carmen, whoever she was, the spirit of her was looking down and deciding that the only Spanish anything that was going to be good on this day was Javi, and all other Carmens were going to fail.
I feel like you're very correct that there was like a Spanish deity who was looking out for Javi.
Yeah, some saint or something. I don't know.
Yeah, I'm not sure who like the patron saint of Spanish figure skating is, because Javi has not been canonized yet. But
Oh, hot take. But correct.
you know what? If someone from the Spanish church wants to reach out, I have some suggestions.
Santo Javier.
I do want to say that Kovtun has the best Carmen out of the Carmens.
I agree.
Musically, the smartest cut.
Like
Yeah.
musically, choreographically, even costume-wise, it really is the best Carmen. Although they did add a lot of weird gold spray paint between now and Nationals, which was a mistake.
Very sad. At first of all, he loses steam, which, it's a long program. But also it's sad that he's kind of rushing and then he like loses some of it because of the elements that don't go well. And it's sad that you can see where the choreo should be. Like one of his jumps is meant to be when the Toreador song kicks in, but he does it like a tiny bit later. And it's like, oh, I know what you're going for. It's just not happening today, which is just sad.
Yeah, so at this point, we are going to talk about the gala and people's fun exhibition skates.
This gala was so weird. Like, galas overall are an experience because, it's where people get to have fun and there's no regulations on what you're allowed to be doing as long as you're like skating a fun program. And the way it works is usually the people who win get to skate your exhibition skates, and then some, fan favorites slash
Locals, usually.
locals get to also skate theirs.
It's not on our list of talking points, but I need to talk about McBrazina's. I know that I always want to talk about him, but I need to talk about his exhibition because he skates to like some off-brand.
He skates the Castaway.
It's like country music slash Margaritaville. He skates it in like a Hawaiian shirt, but also jeans, right?
Yeah, and he starts like at the boards looking like a hungover dad who was dragged to the beach in the morning, but he's still like thinking about last night.
Yes, and also he's leaning on the board like they're the edge of a pool, which is so smart and so dumb.
It is so dumb, but I'm so on board with it because anyone can go out and skate to like a song about winter and like ice, and he's out there skating this summery ass program and it works and he's having so much fun with it. And also like it was like such a good way for him to finish Euros after he didn't play so well because he clearly has so much fun with it. And I know you were shook by it, but I'm very much on board.
No, I loved it. I just was like, I couldn't believe what I was watching because it was so strange. It reminded me of the part in Frozen where the snowman sings about how much he loves summer.
I was trying so hard not to make that reference, but I did just think about that as well. It's not the worst thing to happen at this exhibition by a long shot. And
No.
I cannot believe I put this in the outline for this episode, and I cannot believe it's words that I said, but I need to talk about Alexander Majorov because
Wait, can I just say though, when we were, so I had like being in America, like slept through the original broadcast of this, and then Netta and I like streamed it after, and Netta kind of curated for me like what were the important routines that I would want to see. And I was like, should I watch Alexander Mayorov? And Netta was like, do you want to watch a white man do Cuban Pete?
I will say, like, his actual competitive skate is Cuban Pete from the movie The Mask. And you would think he would put it to rest there, but he doesn't. He does not. His entire exhibition is The Mask, and he wears the yellow suit, but he's not painted green, and I cannot decide if that's better or worse.
No, neither can I.
Because I would hate it if he were green, but this entire like suit with the hat and everything looks even worse when it's just a white boy in there.
It's a white ginge in like a full yellow zoot suit that is just too big.
He like cartwheels. It's pure entertainment. And if
Should
you want
watch
to
it.
just, like, if you just want to be like super amused by 4 minutes of skating or like however long it is, I recommend it. But I don't think this is what you should be showing to someone if they've never seen figure skating before.
Right, but it does fully represent the chaotic spirit of a figure skating gala.
Oh yeah, totally. Like, this is like everything we joke about, like things that we would skate to, I feel like it's just gala ideas. Okay, here it is. We got to talk about bronze Euros medalist Matteo Rizzo doing Ghostbusters.
This is my favorite thing. This has gone into. I have just certain like YouTube videos I watch when I just need like a hit of joy, and a lot of it is just weird K-pop videos. But like also now it's Matteo Rizzo ghost busting.
So here's the thing. They got one of my favorite things about the exhibition, the gala, was that they got the announcers to play along and do like weird intros for everyone. And they did some sort of intro about like now it's time to go ghost hunting with Matteo Rizzo or something. And in the chat that we had, Megan's like, "Oh, I hope this is Ghostbusters." And then the lights come on, barely, and it's Matteo doing Ghostbusters, the actual theme. The like classic actual theme of Ghostbusters.
He has a full inflatable backpack.
He has an inflatable backpack. He has like a little ghost hunting device. He's wearing the full like
It's a jumpsuit.
which a jumpsuit, like the beige Ghostbuster jumpsuit. He rips it open because people like stripping in their exhibitions, I guess. He rips it open to reveal the Ghostbusters t-shirt. It's just such a journey, and he's clearly having so much fun with it. And he's skating it as a winner, and I just love it so much.
So, speaking of the contrast between extreme dorkiness and extreme high drama, should we talk about Denis Vasiliev?
I am so mad at Denis Vasiliev at all times, but especially because, okay, here's the thing. We all know I love him. We've talked about this. We know this. His exhibition is drastically better than both of his competitive programs this year.
It's not even a fucking contest.
No, it's not. He skates the Wolf Kid, which is great. He has this massive hood, which he uses in his choreo, which is awesome. And it's just dramatic, high stakes, contemporary indie skating. And it's so fun.
It's
And
like
he has.
sexy and dark, and like there's that moment when he fully just is in a fetal position on the ice crying, and he's like actually a good actor.
But for some reason, there was so much snow on the ice because he was like skating so aggressively. And he jumps up, and there's just like snow flying around him. And I'm like, where the fuck is this energy when you're skating to actually win things?
Yeah, where is this Denis Vasiliev's when it actually matters?
I just wish we got more of this and less yellow satin pants.
You know whose exhibition I actually really liked was Sophia's. Celine, does she do Celine?
Yeah, she does Celine in this like beautiful like Tiffany blue little dress. And it's like the opposite because she does like fun, sexy programs and then she does like a very pure exhibition.
I think it's smart that she's not competing with it because I think it would be too bland. It's just very like teenage girl experiencing a crush. But it was just really cute to see that from her because it was different. And likewise, Alina Zagitova does her like badass action girl Lara Croft thing, which
Zagitova's exhibition might actually be one of my favorite things that I've like seen on ice in a while.
Totally wear that outfit on ice. It's like a just a black
you
tank.
Wear that in real life.
I do wear that in real life. It's a black tank top and black pants, but I love it.
But it's like dramatic. It has like a fun like harness moments. She has that moment where she like puts her hair up, which did take a second too long.
A full like 30 seconds of her putting 100 pounds of hair in a ponytail, which, you know, we could have practiced that a few more times.
It's like she's up there with Dennis for people who gotta grow up and give me more like edgy fun stuff, because they're clearly like technically capable of that and capable of performing it. So I want to see that.
Maybe next season, now that Alina has all the war horses out of her system, she can actually start figuring out who she is. That would be really nice.
She's like, she's done Phantom, she's done Carmen, and like clock her next season, she skates out in like City of Stars.
No.
Oh, I would be so mad. So here's the tea. Yo thought we were done crying about Javi. We're not. We're far from done, because his exhibition is so special.
It's like a full Gap commercial on ice.
Yeah, but so in a here's good the way. Thing. He is wearing beige jeans and a beige sweater.
Looks like he's been crying all night, which is so sad. His face looks like is
he's
light.
He's puffy and looks sad, which...
He's puffy but still handsome.
He skates to a song called Prometo, if you will. That translates to promise. And it's a song about making a promise to someone you love. It's about promising them a future where everything's going to be better. And it's such a poignant way to end your competitive career.
It's like his goodbye to competitive skating and his goodbye to the ice. It's like a romantic song that he's singing to the ice.
Yeah, and it's about moving on from like failure to something that's calm and eternal. He obviously skates it beautifully because it's him and we know he can do that. But it's not a sad song. You know, what makes this really work is that it's not. It's the exact opposite. It's like literally a promise for like an eternity. And obviously,
are you crying?
I'm not, but I could be. I'm like close. I'm not crying.
It's very bittersweet. I would recommend watching it and holding all this in your mind because it's just really touching.
You know, he has his little moment at the end, this private moment with his eyes that he's been skating for and on. It is just emotional and
God,
beautiful.
I wish I was that ice.
Yeah, that's the end of his competitive career. We know that he has been talking about coaching in the future and doing his shows and stuff. So you are not done hearing us talk about him.
I want him to coach me. Okay, social media corner.
Social media things that happened surrounding Euros. Please take us away and talk about Evgeny Plushenko.
Okay, so I am like fully obsessed with Evgeny Plushenko's Instagram, but sometimes I have to mute it because it gets too much for me. Evgeny Plushenko's Instagram is like an entire reality show in and of itself. Like weird things happen. Like his house, first of all, it's like a compound filled with strange
gold.
It's gold. Everything's gold. Everything's like
marble.
Yes.
I keep saying that it is what happens when a Slavic person gets a lot of money and they do not know what to do with it.
Exactly. So there was a video of his son sitting in a dog bed. Like, why? But anyway, so Evgeny Plushenko is actually probably the worst offender of something that a lot of retired figure skaters do, where whenever anybody else does anything special.
Whenever any fucking event happens.
Any event. Like,
anything.
Yeah, they're like, remember when I did it? Shout out to me. Here's an old picture of me. Remember what I achieved? And it's like, calm the fuck down. We get it, man. Yeah.
I feel like part of that is people's, like, egos, and part of it is, like, it's part of the culture of, like, being a social media figure skater, where you're like, here's a throwback! Oh
yeah,
my god,
I believe
hashtag
that
blessed! I don't think that's Plushenko's case, though.
No, Plushenko was butthurt because his record got broken, or matched. Can we look up the exact post? Yeah, so first of all, the picture he posted is him, like, screaming in a really terrifying way, and he says, 7 years ago today, this day, I became 7-time European champion.
Arm flexing emoji, 7 number one medal emoji. Oh, I'm sorry. Oh, yeah. It's 6 number one medal emoji and then a different one because he misclicked.
And like, it was just such an awkward flex. It was right after Javi did it. And then I need to find Javi's comment, because Javi did the most big dick energy magnanimous thing that has ever been done.
It is so great. And, you know, like, Poroshenko is obviously, like, in recent history, one of the greats. We all respect him and everything he's done for the sport, etc. So, you know, that Javi's also coming from this place of respect. However, the way he handles that is so great. Javi says, "You will always be you. Doesn't matter what happened. You will always be my idol." Red heart emoji. It has 976 likes.
As it should, because it's just like, oh my god, it's so good.
Just the class. Oh, the class of this is great.
I just got an alert that Nam Nguyen just went live. Because we're already in social media corner, can I just pop in and see what he's doing?
Yeah, let's.
I think he's at Disney.
Why can't I see
Keegan,
that?
And Keegan's wearing his hat at Disneyland.
Oh, they're so dumb.
So anyway, what else?
Speaking of Slavic man who got their egos hurt, Mick Brazina posted this meme picture of this wounded wolf that I've only seen as a meme.
It's like a baby wolf that's been shot with an arrow and it's dead.
Like, just once.
And then compared to like a big hardened grizzly wolf that has a million arrows but is still standing. And it's
The baby wolf is the old me, and the big, like, grizzly wolf is me now. And the caption, like, the actual picture is, "Life doesn't get easier, you just get stronger."
It's true, but he shouldn't say it like that.
I also just saw your comments.
Wait, oh my god, I forgot I did this, but this is when I wanted to comment, but I didn't want to sound too thirsty, and then I overcompensated and called him bro, which was way too familiar. Oh no.
Never stop fighting, bro. We love watching you skate! Exclamation point, exclamation point, exclamation point, hard eyes emoji.
Oh no. Never stop fighting, bro.
Yikes. I just want to point out one more Euros moment on social media, which was on Instagram stories. They posted Mateo's family surprising him when he came home, and it's so cute because it's like him walking in to his own apartment with like his little suitcase, and it's just like full of people, and they're screaming surprise in Italian, and it's so precious, and he just looks like so surprised, and it's adorable. And I will retweet it to the podcast Twitter so we can go see it, because it's very precious.
Oh, I'm watching it now. It's so cute. There's so many dogs.
There's like several dogs.
I need to talk about the achievements of my son. Misha has started learning the guitar, and he's very good at it, but he's very modest.
Which means that his hand is doing well.
That's what I thought. I was like, oh, his hand must be doing okay. And also, I love seeing that skaters have hobbies and they're not working too hard. They're like actually also taking some time to like learn other things and enjoy.
You know, some of them make slime. Some of them play the guitar.
Oh my god, Alyssa Liu's slime thing. Can we talk about that?
I cannot believe that's not in social media corner. Yes, we should. The current reigning U.S. national champion, Alyssa Liu, has a slime channel or like an account on Instagram. And she is about to start selling slime. You can buy national champion slime.
You can. And she also then used her platform to promote her friend's slime channel, which I thought was magnanimous as hell.
I adore her. She is so great. Also, we said it earlier, but it bears repeating. Benoit Rochat follows my personal Instagram. I'm not sure why.
Maybe
but
you guys could get married.
I hope we could. We would have beautiful babies. Between the two of us, they would have some hair.
How about Mateo at the medal ceremony?
At the medal ceremony! And he just looks
like... Well, you said he looked like they pulled a man off the street and said, "You win! Congratulations!"
Yeah, because I feel like in this particular event, I don't think he expected to, like, be on this podium, just, like, given how things were going. And he looked just so happy to be there. It was fantastic. I think this is all I have to say about Euros 2019.
I think so, too. It was honestly an extremely dramatic event, and it was very satisfying in all ways, I think. Like, if we thought that Euros was crazy, Four Continents was, like, a wild ride from start to finish.
I feel like we had a second where we're like, well, Euros is done. Four Continents cannot get any wilder than this. And we were in for several surprises. So, tune in next week when we're going to get started on that. We're going to cover the short programs next week.
And we cannot wait to talk about it. So we hope everybody has a wonderful Valentine's Day.
Remember that romantic love does not define you, but if you have it, we're happy for you.
A great way to celebrate Valentine's Day for everybody, no matter who you are or who you love, would be to give us 5 stars on Apple Pod.
It would make us so happy. It would make your partner so happy. If you forgot to give them a gift, just tell them that you left us 5 stars in a nice review, and they will know that you're a beautiful, altruistic person. So, you know, chocolates don't matter. You can follow us on Twitter.
On Twitter, I am MeganKelleher3. And I'm also that on Instagram.
Yay. And I'm at Neda Marie on Twitter and Instagram. We're also both at Ice Tea Pod.
Okay. Well, thanks for listening. Bye-bye.
Bye.